Good morning. It's been quite a week, hasn't it? Had a tornado went through Enid and a couple of other communities, did some damage. A lot of people lost quite a bit of stuff. I don't know of any fatalities. Anybody hear of any fatalities? That's a blessing to have no fatalities with a storm that like that. But we did have a couple of fatalities related to this congregation, two good men, two brothers in Christ that passed away. And so we've had that to deal with as well. Maybe not everybody here knew them, but Dusty Roberts was one and Dan Ziegler is another one. Then last night, another assassination attempt was made on our president. Wow. But we had young people go to Epic and did epically, apparently. I heard so many good reports about what they've done, what they've accomplished, and it's really very encouraging that we've got young men and women like this coming up in our ranks. You all are exactly what the world needs. We need more young people with the Spirit of God in them and the word of mouth coming, or the word of God coming from them. And so we got to keep that up. That text Micah read for us, I hope you're familiar with it, but if not, I hope you're picturing it in your mind's eye. The Passover is near, where they would sacrifice the Passover lambs. And Jesus, our Passover lamb, comes into Jerusalem, goes to the temple, and does not like what he sees. And he cleanses the temple. He kicks out all those who weren't supposed to be there doing things they're not supposed to do. This is what it says in verse 15. He made a scourge of cords and he drove them all out of the temple. All those who were selling oxen and sheep and money changers. He poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who were selling the doves, he said, take these things away and stop making my father's house a place of business. You may know that there were guards assigned to the temple to keep order in the temple and to prevent anyone from doing anything or coming in who wasn't supposed to come in, doing things they weren't supposed to do. And it's very interesting to me that none of those guards seem to have approached Jesus to stop him from what he was doing. I don't know if that's divine intervention, or I would like to think it was the guards saying, it's about time this happened. About time somebody came in here and cleaned house and took care of all this stuff. Now, I'm not saying that's what was in those guys' minds, but I'd like to think that's what they were thinking. It's comforting to know that there are people who think right sometimes, isn't it? But for whatever reason, nobody approached Jesus to try and stop him, and I think that's very significant. That temple did not belong to the people who were there. Didn't belong to the Pharisees, didn't belong to the Sadducees, the great court of the Sanhedrin. It did not belong to the Sanhedrin. It was God's temple, God's house. And that's what Jesus reflected. Stop making my Father's house a place of business. And that's when his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. I hope that zeal has eaten up you and me for the Lord's church, because we are now his temple and he lives in us, not by virtue of our virtue. Virtue. What is virtue? I don't even know what that is. But in other words, not because we're good, because we're not. And we know we're not. We live with ourselves and we understand that the scripture says all have sinned and fallen short and are falling short of the glory of God. And we do that on a pretty regular basis, unfortunately. And yet God still lives with us in patience, long-suffering, being compassionate towards us. But I read about Jesus cleansing the temple and I wonder, if I'm a temple of God, what would Jesus do if he came in to me to clean me up? Are there things in me that need to be cast out? Are there tables, so to speak, in me that need to be turned over? Is there a way that needs to be put right in me? And you will ask the same thing of yourself. If we are now the temples of God, what will Jesus do if he comes into these temples? When Jesus' apostle wrote to the church in Corinth, you can turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and read with me what he says here. He's writing about us as God's temples. Now remember the nature of the church at Corinth. Why did Paul write this letter? Well, he wrote this letter because they were such a mess. They had all kinds of things wrong that needed to be made right. All kinds of sin being committed. Not just inaccuracies here and there, but people doing evil, ungodly things. And so the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write this letter to the church to help them learn what they needed to learn, to get themselves straightened out and to encourage them to do so. And this is part of what he says here in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, starting at verse 10. According to the grace of God which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. Paul, through the Spirit, telling the church that they are God's temple, that God lives in them. God lives in us. It's not an arrogant statement to make. It's what God has taught us. He lives in you as an individual, and he lives in us as a congregation. We are his house. We are his place of residence. What an unbelievable thought is that, that the one who spoke the universe into existence is living in each of our lives, each of our souls, each of our spirits, is residing with us. That's what Paul is writing. But he talks about building. What kind of building do we do as children of God, as Christians? What do we build and how do we go about building it? With the Spirit in us, and that's what Paul says we are, or who Paul says we are home to, we might think about the fruit of the Spirit. And if you want to read about the fruit of the Spirit, you can go right to Galatians chapter 5. Paul's writing to all the churches of Galatia, and he mentions the fruit of the Spirit of God. This is the season for fruit, isn't it? This is springtime when the leaves are coming out. The blossoms are pretty much gone, I think. I don't know about all the fruit trees, but they're starting to put out that fruit. And later this summer, we'll be going out to pick apples, pick peaches. Whatever these trees put out, we'll want some of it. And we'll use it to make pies, make good things. We'll go to the grocery store. We'll get it wherever we can find it. Because we're fruity people. We like that stuff. We like produce. Some of you plant gardens. Some of you have grapevines. Some of you have all kinds of things that produce good things in your homes. Or at your home. And we in Christ are also supposed to produce fruit. Jesus said, if any man be in me or be in Christ, he'll be a new creature. Now, I know Paul wrote that, but Jesus is the one who actually taught us that. that newness comes from being in Christ. And with this newness, we produce fruit that we may not have produced in our lives before, because the Spirit of God is so different than the spirit of this world. Here's a list of 9 that Paul provides for us in Galatians. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then he says, against such things there is no law. Now, when he says such things, what does that mean to you? That means that the fruit of the Spirit is not limited to those 9 things. And when we think about characteristics of human behavior, we might be able to imagine some other things that are fruit of the Spirit. I've got a list here that I made. If I leave anything out that you can think of, I'd like you to mention it to me so I can add it to my list. Here are some further things that I think are also fruit of the Spirit of God. The fruit that the Spirit of God produces these things in our lives. Courage, honesty, loyalty, perseverance, trustworthiness, humility, devotion, respect, modesty, reverence, compassion, piety, empathy, thoughtfulness, discipline, hospitality, discernment, boldness, wisdom, mercy, justice, encouragement, service, generosity. And there's more. I just didn't think of others. But if you do, write them down, give them to me. I'd like to keep adding to this list. Because when I look about it in the world that God has made, He's made it a very fruitful world. Wherever you grow up in the world, you go to your grocery store and you see a certain number of fruits, but then you go to another grocery store somewhere else and you say, oh, what's that? I don't even know what that is. You ever see a fruit that you didn't recognize? I remember the first time I ate a date. Not went on a date, but ate a date. How many of you like dates? The rest of you, what is wrong with you? Dates are fantastic. They're just so sweet and they're really nourishing. They got a lot of things in them that do you good. I forget what you call those right now, but yeah, nutrients. We'll just call them nutrients. And if you put a date with some nuts, I don't say eat them with nuts, you take that at your own thing, but like pecans, you can, I get pumpkin seeds, roasted pumpkin seeds, and you bite off the end of a date and you dip it down in those pumpkin seeds. And you got pumpkin seeds stuck to your date because dates are sticky. And then you eat that and it's like, oh, yes. Now, if you want to be sinful, you can add chocolate to that. But that's okay because you know what chocolate is? That comes from a bean. And bean is a vegetable. Tell me it's not the truth. It's all good. And these are fruits that we appreciate because God has blessed us with them and we can eat them, we can make things out of them. But think about the fruit of the Spirit. How much more blessed are you in life if you have these such things than you are if you have peaches? Now, peaches are good. I'm not knocking peaches. But what's more important, to have humility in your life or to have peaches? Which one would you give up first? What about courage? Well, it's horrible not to have courage. Don't ask me how I know that. Apples or courage? What will be your choice? I think I know what your choice would be. And it's great that God doesn't ask us to do that. He gives us both. He gives us the creation with all of its fruits and vegetables. And you know what cows do? They eat grass. They eat vegetables. They eat green things. So when you eat a cow, it's like a salad on legs. And God has said that's good for us to eat too. It's wonderful what God has done for us in the realm of the physical. But think about what God has done for us in the realm of the spiritual. Every one of those characteristics can be yours. You can practice those things. You can live those things. You can deliberately do all of those things. I was talking to John. John gave me a CD recently. John Wright. This one guy did the whole thing. He was a singer in a rock band back in the 60s or the 70s. I forget now when it was. But anyway, but he was a vocalist and he didn't play any instruments. And he decided, I'm going to teach myself how to play instruments. So he taught himself how to play instruments. And he did the vocals and he did the instruments with it. You know, he'd play a track and then he'd perform with this track. And then he involved his family and his family's voices are in this thing. It sounds like a fantastic CD. I haven't listened to it yet. But just the story behind it is inspiring to me. And John was talking about how much talent this guy has. And I says, I don't have that kind of talent. And we were both lamenting that. We don't have the ability to do anything close to what this guy has done. But all of these things, there's not a one of these here that you and I can't do. There's not a single one that you and I can't do in life. And these things will make your life rich. These things will make your life so fruitful. And I think about this when I read about Paul writing to the church in Corinth and being a wise master builder. What are you building, Paul? What are you building, church at Corinth? What are you and I building with our lives? When people see you and me who know us, what do they think about us? What kind of characteristics have you and I shown them in our lives? If we've been kind to them, maybe that's what they'll think about. If we've been gentle with them, oh, did I put that? No, that was one of the original, wasn't it? I thought, oh, I missed one there. If we've been merciful towards those who need merciful, who need mercy, that's the way to say that. If we've been courageous when courage was needed, when maybe somebody else didn't have it, but we had courage to move in a direction and help somebody else move in that same direction. They didn't want to speak up, but we spoke up. Any of these characteristics you and I can do, we can have them. They are the fruit of God's Spirit, and God's Spirit will produce these things in us if we give Him the freedom to do so. And that's what He was talking about with the church at Corinth. They didn't have to be the way they were. They didn't have to be at odds with one another over preachers. Oh, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Christ. They didn't have to be that way. They shouldn't have been that way. That was carnal thinking. This is spiritual thinking. What needs to change in my life? What would Jesus clean out? What would He clean out of yours? And if you clean out something, you know what you need to do? You need to replace it with something better. And that's what this is all about. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. And to have these things in our life, we've got to practice them. We can't just espouse them. We can't just say, oh yeah, I believe in all of this stuff. Well, who cares? Who cares what you believe in? What do you actually do? What do you put into practice? What do you show the world? That's the real question. Now, Paul was writing to Corinth, but Peter also wrote to the church. And this is what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, I don't want to get you excited, but this is what we're going to close with. I know. Somebody, oh, well, that means it's going to be over soon. No, you haven't been in one of Marty's sermons. But this is the text I want us to think about as we finish this lesson today. This is Peter writing to the church. And if you read through this letter, you'll probably come to the conclusion that I did, that he's writing to them to help them bear up under false prophets, false teachers. And so this is what he says as he gets started. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. And he's done it through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now we're going to read on from this, but I want you to stop and think about what he just said. God's made some promises to us. And through those promises, did you see what he said we can do? We can be partakers in the divine nature. Now that word partake, we don't use that much unless we're in church, right? Have you ever noticed that? There's a lot of words we use in church and in religious discussions that we don't use elsewhere. But it's a good word, partake. You know what that means in English? Just reverse it. Take part. To partake is to take part. That's all it means. It's like partake. Where'd that come from? Well, just switch them around. That's the way we do it in English, don't it? We just do things backwards and it makes sense. I don't get it. But you know what the Greek word is? The Greek word is koinonia. How many of you are familiar with the Greek word koinonia? What does it mean? It means fellowship. We have fellowship with God. We are partakers with God. And the way this is written, if I understand it right, it's not just something we have, it's something we are. We are koinonia with God by means of his promises. We're taking part in the divine. Okay, let's keep reading. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we'll keep reading from there, but think about what he's saying. If these qualities are in you, how do these qualities get in you? You come to church and sit in the pew. And just sit there and let the sermon wash over you. Let the songs wash over you. Let the prayers wash over you. And when you go out of here, you'll have all this stuff in you, right? Hocus pocus. That's magic. This is not about magic. This is not about a hocus pocus. What's the first thing he mentioned? Did he not mention diligence? Giving all diligence. What does diligence mean? That means you keep at it. You keep at it. You stick with it. When I was a kid, I didn't know what a chainsaw was because nobody had one. You know what I had? I had an axe. And I loved using an axe. If you've never used an axe, that's one of the most fun things in the world. I know that sounds crazy to say, but I enjoyed using an axe when I was much younger. It just felt so good. Maybe I just had a lot of frustration in me. I needed to get it out, so I'd take that axe and swing it against a tree. You know how many times you have to swing an axe against a tree to chop it down? You know how many times I was doing that when I wanted to quit? If it hadn't been for the pleasure of it, I probably would have quit a lot longer. When I got out of the service, I thought, man, I haven't swung an axe in a long time. And there was this big tree across a hollow. It had fallen in a windstorm, big oak tree, and it must have been a foot and a half thick, which is a pretty small oak back home. And I thought, I'm going to go up and cut that thing in half just for fun. Three or four or five strokes, and I was through it. Yeah, right. You had to keep doing it. Now, I kept doing it because I had a goal. I wanted to get that tree chopped through. Now, what did that accomplish? Didn't do anything. Just cutting a dead tree in half, and it wasn't so dead that it shouldn't have been cut. It was still lively enough. You guys that cut trees know you don't want to cut a dead tree. That'll ruin your axe or your chainsaw or whatever. Why am I telling you about this? Diligence. I did that because I enjoyed it. What about if you don't enjoy it? What if it's not fun? What if you run into somebody and you need to show them some empathy and you just think, you're a weenie, you're just a whiner, Back up a little bit, Marty. What if you just showed them some mercy? Oh, now we're down to mercy. Oh, mercy to have empathy. Oh, great. That's the loving thing to do. Oh, love. This is love too. You see how this works? You can't hardly do one of these things without getting involved in others of them. And if you show diligence in showing love and mercy and empathy and kindness and generosity, the rest of it's going to come in. And you're a wise master builder if you keep doing these things, if you add these things diligently to your life. The only way to get good at anything is to do what? Practice. Practice. Now, Peter is not saying to add these things so that you can be saved. He's saying to add these things because you have become a partaker in the divine nature. That's what you and I are. God has put His Spirit in. We're partakers of the divine nature. What a shame would it be if we wasted that on chopping down trees and picking fruit, but if we gave our diligence to these kinds of things and let the fruit of the Spirit be produced in our lives as we show our fruit to others. And I don't mean show on display, but I mean by being kind to others. That's the only way to build. You've got to do it. Do it for other people. You can't go home and do this in the privacy of your living room. You've got to get out in the world. And all these things that are the fruit of the Spirit are things to be practiced with other people who need those things to be shown. This is how we are light. This is how we are salt. This is how we are cities on hills. Peter goes on to say, you remember I warned you, I said we're going to close with this, but it's going to be a little bit. He says in verse 8, if these qualities are yours and increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. It's not like when you lack these things, it's because, well, that's just the way it is. No, you've forgotten. Remember and add these things to your life. You can do each one of these. Therefore, brethren, be all the more, and there's that word again, diligent, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, there you go, you'll never stumble. You keep working on it. I'm going to try to keep working on it. All these qualities that are fruit of the Spirit of God, let God lead you into using these in your life and behaving in these ways towards people who are saved and people who are lost, especially those who are lost. They need this so much, just like you and I do. And then he goes on to say, in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Abundantly supplied. By doing what, Peter? By keeping on in the things that are of the Spirit of God. By diligently adding to your life day by day. By building like a wise master builder. Things that will stand the test of time. But especially, as Paul puts it, will stand the test of the fire. Because the fire's coming. The fire's coming. Isn't it great to be in Christ? To know that the fire's coming, but we don't need to worry about it. Because we are in Him. And He is in us. And you are God's temple. And I hope that if He came into me, He would look around and go, wow, what a great place. I like living here. That's what I want to hear. Let's pray. We thank You, Lord, for not simply paying attention to us, but for loving us. And for paying the price of our sin, You could buy us back to Yourself. And for every day being patient with us as we try to figure out how to be more like You and how to do what You've taught us to do. Not to earn anything, but simply to reflect Your glory. All these things, all these qualities, all these characteristics of Your Spirit are so marvelous. And we ask You to help us to live our lives in such a way that we continually bring these things into our lives so that we might show them to the world. Help us to practice before the world all of Your ways so that they can see Your glory in us and be drawn to you for their eternal salvation. Thank you. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Well, we're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement and invitation. Aren't you proud of me? I didn't go anywhere else but 1 Peter chapter 1 that time. I get another pat on the back when you leave. But before we leave, if you feel the need in any way to respond to the Lord, to the things you've heard today or the things you've heard before, we want to offer you an invitation. That's what this song is for. And if you don't want to come forward, just grab one of us when the song is over. Please don't leave here today without doing something to make your life right with the Lord. Let's stand and sing together. Carson?